My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, who's now a senior strategist with the U.S. Army. Even before the Super Committee announced it could not find an agreement on ways to reduce the deficit by over $1 trillion in the next 10 years, we knew that the triggers would very heavily affect defense spending as well as other domestic spending. But Colonel McGinnis has written in recent weeks that this could be absolutely devastating for the U.S. military. And now that we're facing this eventuality square in the face, he joins us now to provide some more detail. And Colonel, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Greg.
Let's start with what we know for sure, and that's that the sequestration here demands that 10% of defense spending, as well as 10% of other spending throughout the budget, get reduced over those 10 years. But that's on top of pretty substantial cuts that were already implemented. So we're looking at about 15%, as you wrote recently. Just how big of a hit is that, and where do you expect it to come from?
It is a major hit. Of course, this summer, $465 billion in reductions over 10 years were agreed to by the White House and the Pentagon and the Congress. And then, of course, as you indicate, the $600 billion on top of that. We're beginning, especially in the near term, because we have an ongoing war and we have a lot of other obligations. This austerity plan is really going to be crippling in many capacities. You know, in fact, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Martin Dempsey, you know, said that this was a self-inflicted and potentially irrevocable wound to our national security. You know, what this really means is that the defense spending in relationship to the GDP is going to be at the lowest level it's been since World War II. Keep in mind, we're a nation at war. It's going to cut at least 200,000 from soldiers and Marines in terms of in strength. It's going to dump a couple hundred thousand civilian workforce personnel, but at least they're going to have to be furloughed. And then, of course, it's going to slash military retirement. And this is deferred compensation. It's not something that was necessarily put in the bank. It's something that is owed to these volunteer forces. And if you mess with the volunteer force, guess what? The unpopular draft head will reemerge. I think the immediate cuts that we'll probably begin to see, if in fact this is what we have to face, is Army battalions. Maybe 40% of those will be cut. 18% of the ships that sail the seven seas. And, of course, the Air Force, you know, maybe about a quarter of all aircraft. Yeah, so this really begs the question, do we need all of what we have today? Well, that's a fair question, but how secure does this nation want to be? And given the ongoing adversarial relationships we have with North Korea and Iran, China's rapidly emerging great power confrontation, the reemergence of Russia, all the disarray in the Middle East, the ongoing war in Afghanistan, and of course the one that's winding down in Iraq, that besides a number of other very volatile situations, really begs the question, do we want to cut back on defense at a time perhaps that we've never seen, threatening as it is in the life of this nation?
Let me back up just a little bit, Colonel. In terms of the $400+ billion that were already agreed to, even before we get to the Super Committee issues, do you feel that most of the cuts as they were outlined in that agreement are acceptable, reasonable, or was that even going too far?
Well, certainly it depends upon what your security requirements are. As long as we're not going to expand our security requirements, we're going to withdraw from Afghanistan, we're going to withdraw from Iraq, we're not going to launch new operations, that perhaps is okay over 10 years. But keep in mind, just last week, President Obama was all over Asia, making promises of expanding our security and our military commitments. He was giving away F-16s and cruisers and making more defense obligations and promises. Basically, he is launching a Cold War with China. That's going to cost us a fair amount of money. You know, he said his first priority now is Asia. Given what's going on and what I described moments ago, you know, that really puts us in a pinch.
Colonel, what's the best way out of this? The Super Committee has failed. The Congress regardless of how anyone feels about it, agreed to these as the default points. So what now?
Well, I think that, you know, basically Congress kicked the ball, or kicked the can. They're going to have to back out. No one wants to see this country decimated. And I will tell you, we face some very, very mean people around the world that would love to see the demise of the United States. They would love to send as many terrorists and conventional forces our way to ravage us. I think fundamentally that's what we face. We have to make the fundamental decision whether or not this country is worth defending. And the trade-off is, well, we're going to take those resources and extend them on social issues. I will tell you, the Constitution makes the obligation of defending the country the premier obligation of the president and the Congress. A lot of the social programs may be desirable by this culture, but it's certainly not absolutely necessary to our survival. I would argue survival could be at stake if we radically cut back our military too fast and too soon.
So you ultimately think before the end of next year there will be a reconsideration of this by the president and Congress because the alternative is devastating?
You know, the alternative is, as Secretary Panetta said, it's just unconscionable, unacceptable. Yes, they will have to, and I hope the American people, who unfortunately only about 1% have any real understanding of what the military is about, and don't travel abroad to see how, you know, disarray this world really is in, that they need to think many, many times before, you know, compelling their congressmen to dump the Defense Department, dump our security. Because nobody else is going to defend this country. And we are putting our country at risk if we, in fact, don't fund it appropriately. That doesn't mean we can't find savings. We've already agreed to $465 billion over 10 years. But $600 million, I don't know a single person that knows this business that would argue that that is even close to being a prudent decision by the Congress, by the American people. We truly jeopardize our freedoms.
Colonel, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there. Obviously, a sobering result of the fact that more compromise could not be found here and the fact that we are so far into the red. Thank you, sir, very much for understanding what could lie ahead for us.
Well, thank you, Greg.
Retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis. He's now a senior strategist with the U.S. Army. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.